think historically, I think at least through, back through the last 10 years, like 2012, it's always come down to the end of the year, or actually the last race where you've had multiple drivers that were still eligible for a championship. This year, it just seems like a bigger field. So that's it just kind of shows the overall competitiveness of the series. It's amazing to see how some of them have, some drivers and teams have gotten kind of hot here at the end. They've kind of started rolling. It's kind of, you know, squeezed the point championship together. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting finish.
How's been the public response? Has it been growing as the season's gone on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we just come off of, we had last week and off, before that we ran 5 races in 4 weeks, which is quite a stretch for us. So it's had a magnificent crowd at Nashville. Iowa was packed. You know, running a doubleheader was interesting with the concerts and Hy-Vee doing such a great job like they did for us. That was pretty unique. You know, Toronto was first time we've been back in a couple of years, so that was pretty cool. So, yeah, it's been a really good stretch.
I'm glad I didn't go to Iowa because it was so blasted hot. But I watched it very carefully on TV, and I watched Hy-Vee's involvement especially. Now, we have a Hy-Vee store in my town in Jefferson City, so I know what a great citizen group this is, but was their participation at all a surprise to you in the way it all came together?
What's funny, you know, when you talk about something and you have something, you know, kind of on paper about how, here's what's going to happen, how it's going to work, that's one thing. But when you see somebody execute something, I think they exceeded all of our expectations. I absolutely exceeded all of our expectations. It was magnificent to see their enthusiasm and wanting to put on a first-class event, and, you know, from the building of the suites, and I mean, it really transformed Iowa into kind of a, it looked like a, kind of like a stadium, you know, with the suites all the way around it, and then motorhomes all the way around it. So it was a great crowd. They did a great job. I mean, the concerts were obviously, you know, all headline acts. That was pretty cool to have those going on between things we were doing, and it was just, there was something always going on. It reminded me, in a way, again, they went above and beyond, but it looked a little bit old school, right? I mean, how their activation and things used to go on. They've also done a lot of things in store, which has been huge for us. So think about, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, that was more normal when people were doing a lot of activation in stores. So it was cool to see that. We're really proud of everything they've done.
I look at things like Iowa, then I look at the Bomarito involvement here. Is that kind of the template for IndyCar oval racing? Is local sponsorship, heavy involvement by the local folks, and great enthusiasm? Is that the future of oval track racing for IndyCar?
Well, John and the Bomarito guys, obviously, this is our sixth season in a row, and they kind of set the tone early, you know, in this whole program. So we're, you know, couldn't be more grateful for them either and everything they've done. Obviously, they do a great job in the Metro St. Louis area. I think Hy-Vee is a little more, you know, I guess we wouldn't call it a national brand, but it's a big regional brand, big Midwestern brand. But John and the guys have done a great job, and you know, we talked about in 2016, 2017, we never really had a Promoter of the Year award, but if we would have had one, they would have got it that year, the Bomarito guys, and I would venture to say Hy-Vee would have got it this year. So,
how hard is it to get this kind of local support?
It just depends. I mean, different places we go to, there's different groups who do different things. I think, you know, with the Bomarito group, the automotive dealership group that they're part of, which obviously they do a lot of, you know, advertising in the St. Louis metro area, which obviously they tagged a lot of that, which certainly helps the whole, you know, the event. You know, Curtis and Chris have done a great job at the facility. If you look, you know, it looks different every year we come here, and different being in a good way. I mean, every time we come back, they've made great improvements and changes to the facility. So we feel really proud that over the last 6 years, you know, since Curtis and Chris and John and everybody came on, we've been kind of able to grow this together. And we took, I guess we all took kind of a chance on each other at that time about what this could look like. And every year we come back, it's starting to look more and more like what the vision we all had for it. So just really proud to be here.
Nashville was a pretty exciting race again, but again, there were a lot of critics about some of the things going on there. You're going to be working on that a little bit in the off season.
Yeah, Nashville. It's hard to describe that event. I mean, think about, you know, running around a football, the Titans Stadium, which is incredible. Going over a bridge. I mean, it's not just it's a real bridge, obviously with a real river below it. You know, it's not a small bridge. It's the real deal. It's just a magnificent venue. You got an iconic city in the background. You know, some of the comments have obviously been about the race. So We made improvements, we think, from last year to this year. You know, if you look at the data, it showed we had, I think, 200 more on-track passes this year than we did last year, and even though we had one less caution, which is good. I mean, that's, we look at data. I think the amazing thing about it is there's people that, I guess, didn't like the race, the racing part, the venue part, and all that's spectacular. But there's people that didn't like the race. There's a lot of people that love the race, but everybody's talking about the race, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's pretty good. So, again, we'll look at, as we do everywhere we go and everything we do, we'll look to see what we can do to improve it even more next year. But we couldn't, you know, we're really proud of going there. We really enjoy that city, that venue. The Motor City guys have done a great job. Motor City. Music City. Wrong city. We go to Motor City, too. Detroit's on this issue. Yeah, but they've done a really good job.
Well, you mentioned the Motor City. You did a different course this year.
Yeah.
And that worked out well.
Well, that's for next year. Next year we'll do the one downtown. So that's kind of, you know, we talk a lot about historical venues. You think of Gateway as, you know, or Worldwide Technology Raceway is one, where we came, you know, 20 years ago we raced here, then we took some time off, and then we've come back. Detroit going downtown will be kind of a throwback to the, you know, where the venue used to be. The city's got behind it tremendously. They're already doing things to the roads right now to be ready for next, you know, June. So it's going to be really interesting to see the race back in downtown Detroit.
Now, can the people in Detroit learn from other cities that have street races? Are things common to cities that have street races?
In terms of preparation?
Yeah, I think we do the best we can, and our promoter partners do the best they can to not disrupt anything. You know, there is going to be a disruption. There is things happening. There are roads that are closed for a while. There's, you know, things like that are an inconvenience. So I can just say, you know, thank you to the people in Toronto and Long Beach and St. Pete and now Detroit and Nashville, you know, are places where we have street races and that there is a disruption. But we hope that the return is worth the disruption that goes on for a little while. We think, you know, having an IndyCar race really highlights the cities that we go to. And it's, you know, it's a you know, Long Beach has been over 40 years now. I mean, so it's become part of the fabric of the community. So, you know, that's what we're hoping for.
Do you have a schedule pretty well nailed down for next year? I know you probably don't want to announce it, but are you pretty clear on where you want to go and do and what you want to be?
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Yeah, yes, it's close to being done. I think one of the things we've worked real hard on is having, you know, date equity and venue equity, that type of thing. So I think if you look at next year's schedule, it'll look a lot like this year's, which is a good thing. That's what we've worked hard at, you know, that we have people know what weekends we're coming back. We'll be back next year. You know, we can grow these events. We can work with our promoter partners to make it a, you know, even a bigger event for the community. So it'll look a lot like this year's.
Hy-Vee and Bomarito Group here. Does that give you a template for getting local sponsors for these races? Does it help other sponsors for local races come in more easily?
Possibly. I mean, if you look at, you know, John and, you know, Chuck and the Bomarito Group, obviously there's big dealership groups like that in a lot of the places that we race. So, yeah, I mean, there's a template for that. I think if you look at, from the Hy-Vee perspective, that's anybody that has any kind of retail platform or retail footprint, they could do something like that. So, yeah, they're both really good case studies for maybe a local type sponsorship and a regional or national type sponsorship, you know, package that could come. So we think, you know, both of those groups have put a lot into it, and hopefully it appears they're getting a lot out of it, which is, you know, what ultimately is good for all of us.
You come off of a COVID year, and then you started this year with a cloud of recession hanging over a lot of economics. What's the economics looking like now as we head toward the end of this season? You start looking ahead to 2023. I assume it's a lot better.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. I think every place we went to has been pretty much packed this year, right? And I think a lot of people, they want to get it back out. They want to, you know, return to normalcy or however you want to say it. They, you know, it's been good to see fans. You know, it's funny, we certainly knew how important the fans are and were. And, you know, when we didn't have them for a year, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference to the event, to the feeling of the event, to the, you know, all of it. And it's so good to have them back. It's so great that they're all coming back out, you know, as many of them that are. It's been an amazing couple of years for all of us, right? You know, we've all learned a lot. You've learned how to do things, we talk about from an economic standpoint, we've learned how to do things more efficiently than we ever had before, which is something that's good for the future, too. So there were things from the COVID time or era that we went through that can apply going forward. That's, you know, will probably be a good thing for the business.
Number of teams. Any chance you're going to see more teams next year?
If you remember, we started our 5-year plan in, I guess it was 2016, and that was part of it, was to recruit new owners and teams into the sport. So, yeah, I think there's probably a couple more. You know, we grew, you know, back then we had 18 to 20. We're now at 20. We have 26 cars here this weekend. We've had up to 28, 29, you know, at some venues last couple of years. So it's probably going to be in that range, 27 to 28 next year.
That's about the limit for a small track like this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 28 is kind of a magic number, even from a historical perspective about some of the venues. This is an oval. There's more room. You know, some of the places we go to, pit roads are a little, that's one of the issues that we have to sort through. But again, this is one of these good problems to have, right? That there's more interest, there's more teams coming. That's job creation. It's good for, you know, lots of different reasons. But we'll manage through that.
There seems to be something going on between IndyCar and Formula One. There's a lot of talk now about a 4-time Formula One champion coming to race an IndyCar, at least to try out. We've got Formula One trying to lure some of the young guys over to their side. Is there a rivalry that's developing here?
Obviously I'm a motorsports fan. I came from NASCAR. I was in NASCAR, 20-some years. I love watching Formula One races. I love watching NASCAR races. I don't think it's a competition in any way. I think if you think about it, if it's a competition, it's like a brotherly thing, right, where you're, you want to compete hard with your brother, but, you're rooting for your brother, too, because, it's good for everybody if we're all successful. I mean, it's growing motorsports in general. So, we wish them nothing but success. We wish NASCAR nothing but success. You know, if you look at the Brickyard now with us having a race with them, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, we all have so many mutual friends and, even sponsors and, OEMs and different things that cross between the two. So to get us all in one place at one time and to watch and be able to look at, what they're doing, what we're doing, and it makes for a really great weekend.
Any chance that we'll see more doubleheaders like that or tripleheaders like that?
I don't think so. Right now, we have just Iowa being the doubleheader, our pure doubleheader, an IndyCar doubleheader with another series like with the Cup Series. Probably not in the near future. Is it something we're opposed to in any way? Absolutely not. I mean, we like the Brickyard and how it's turned out. It's not something that you would do all the time, but if you did it a couple of times, it would probably work out great.
What's going to be new for next year?
There's not a ton new for 2023. There's a bunch new for 2024. So a lot of 2023 will be used, getting everything ready for 2024, from having a brand new 2.4-liter twin-turbo engine that's got hybrid power that'll have the car. There's a lot of things that have to change in the car wrapped around the new engine and the hybrid. So there's going to be a ton of testing in 2023 to get ready for 2024. So we're trying to limit, any new expenditures or a lot of new things in 2023. There'll be some new things in 2023 that you'll see that are really just a byproduct to get ready for 2024.
Can you tell me what they are?
There's just some, it's a new attenuator on the car, a new rain light. There's different things that are going to be on the car. There are things that we could do now that will be needed on the car in 2024. So think of the car in 2024 will have 100 more horsepower out of the box. So you might, there's things we had to do with the brakes. There's some things we might have to do with the wings. There's a few things you might need to make a little more robust. We're trying to reduce some weight in the car, too. So, it's kind of a formula that, you will work on. So if you look at 23 and 24, we in reality kind of make those 2 years kind of one from a technical perspective. How do you do it over 24 months versus 12 months? So that's kind of some of the things we're doing.
Should we look for a jump in speeds with this new engine format in 24?
Top end speed, yes. But remember, you still have to turn, right? So think about it. So if you're going faster down the straightaways, yes, you still have to turn, right? So there'll be places we'll be faster. There'll be places that'll probably be pretty similar lap times, but it'll just be a different approach. So, how Again, you know, the car's still got to get through the corner. Again, how the drivers brake, the braking zones, some things will change. That'll make it, you know, even maybe more interesting from a race fan's perspective.
Yeah. Is safety still within this? You're not outrunning the safety aspects of the cars, are you?
Oh, absolutely not. Safety is always number one priority. If you look at a lot of what we've been building up to 2024, you know, the aero screen has been a huge safety enhancement to the car. The driver's side impact piece, the coat bottle design to the tub, and the aero kit, it's all played into that, the safety aspect. So, no, we would never discount safety.
When I was watching during the heat wave, the race in Iowa, I remember hearing drivers early on with the new cockpit configuration worried about heat. And I started thinking to myself, well, it's 110 degrees up there. How are they handling the heat in that enclosed cockpit? It didn't look like they had a whole lot of trouble with that.
Well, the Saturday race in Iowa was the highest heat index we've had, I think, over the last couple of years. So it was a big test for that. It seemed like we got through, you know, pretty... you know, in good shape. The cooling and the driver cockpit cooling is things we continue to work on. So that's, you know, the cool shirts are now approved. The drivers can wear those. We're looking at trying to figure out different ways to get more air into the cockpit, which is things we are ongoing and will continue to do. The thing that was really odd about Iowa, even though the heat index was very high, it was very Phoenix-like. The humidity was only like 40%. Usually it's, you know, different, right? So it was like oven hot, not like Iowa humid hot usually. It was just Saturday was just a weird day. Sunday in Iowa was more like, you know, Midwestern humid hot day. So again, it was a good test. We, you know, everybody got through it. To do two, you know, back-to-back races, back-to-back days in the heat like that was, you know, another really big test. And again, the cooling part of it is something we'll never stop working on. We'll continue to work on. We want to make sure the drivers are, you know, as cool as we can get them.
It's always sad for me to see IndyCar stop racing so soon. Is there any thought of extending that season at the beginning or the end in the future?
I think if we ever extended it, it would be starting earlier, not necessarily going later. I think we're pretty comfortable with where we, you know, ending around Labor Day. There could be opportunities down the road maybe to start the season a little earlier, so that could be something that we could look at. We're pretty happy right now with the cadence of the schedule and how it's worked. Again, we're just coming off the, you know, 5 races in 4 weeks. That's a tough stretch. But the cadence, I think, is right now good. We can always make things better, but again, next year's schedule will look a lot like this year's.
It's always good to leave people wanting more.
Absolutely. It's good stuff.